Welcome to my weekly Q&A session. In a moment, I'm going to do five questions that folks have sent all around the subject of faith, of hope, and of obtaining the promises of God. Just so you know, I do a weekly Q&A usually on a Friday of every week, and if you have any questions whatsoever about the life of faith, the spirit-filled life, I'd love to hear from you and add that to forthcoming episodes. Good. Two quick practicals before I start. As always, if you are new to my ministry, it's great to have you here. I won't do my whole bio, but I encourage you to check out my website below. I'm a British, French, American person, lead a group of churches here in New England, travel, and love Jesus. I have a YouTube channel now with over 1 million subscribers, and it is great to have you watching today, and I'd love you to be part of that group. Probably the best way of keeping in touch with me would be my email newsletter, which we send out several times a week. And at the moment, we are offering a free copy of this book I've been teaching on all week long as a PDF download for everybody who signs up this week. So link below for that. Secondly, let me just say a big thank you to all of the partners and friends of my ministry. What are partners? Partners are actually those who believe in what we are doing, what we're called to do, and help pass that along to others. Probably you are watching this video today because somebody else helped me put it on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, wherever. And you know, a large part of my call is to put this message of faith out before people who don't get this kind of teaching on a regular basis. So I'd love it if you'd help me do that. Consider that. Pray about it. And link below if you're interested in becoming a partner. Good. So I've got five really good questions here today. Let me jump into these. Question number one says, you emphasized hearing God's word as a primary key to growing in faith, but I read the Bible regularly, and yet I don't see my faith growing. What am I doing wrong? That's a really great question. And let me give you a really great answer. You know, I think it's possible to, in a sense, if you read the Bible in a very general sense, you will get a very general faith. It's possible to read the Bible and not actually understand what's truly going on. All the way through the New Testament, you'll see people who are kind of reading the scriptures and it's like gibberish to them. It's like they don't understand what's actually happening here. So in a very real sense, how you approach the Bible will determine what you receive from the Bible. If you come to the Bible for history, you'll find it. If you come for good moral lessons about God, you, morality, how to live, you'll find those things. If you come for, you know, a kind of general framework about salvation, understanding Christianity at a certain level, you'll find those things there. I think my life began to be changed when I literally realized, and this itself, you have to engage in a leap of faith to get here, but I actually suddenly realized the Bible was God speaking to me. The Bible was as if God wrote a check and signed his name on it. He was behind it. It wasn't just a vague, you know, fuzzy. If you were writing down some random word I said, you wrote it on a back of an envelope or something, toilet paper or whatever it's, great, but if I wrote a check, that would be an intentional promise where I legally sign my name to that thing. And come on, imagine right now, I'm sitting here in my church in Massachusetts teaching. Imagine if I am teaching, as I'm teaching, Jesus Christ walked into the building. Yeah? Imagine he walked right up and he sat down right next to me and he said, I'm going to speak to you guys watching on the video. That would be an exciting thing, wouldn't it? Now, here's the point. We would be impressed if we could physically see Jesus or on a video. You'd be sorry you weren't here in the room with me. But can I tell you, if Jesus came and spoke to you physically or through the means of this video, his word wouldn't be any more powerful than this word. This is the word of God. So if somebody were to say to me, I'm reading the Bible and I'm not getting faith, I would say, are you taking the time to really think, God, this is you speaking to me. This is actually God speaking to me. When you do that, faith doesn't come by reading the Bible. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Now, the Word of God is in the Bible, but my point is you need to believe it's the Word of God. Paul speaks about the Word of God which effectually works in those who believe. Selah. Boom. Question number two says, how do I know if I'm engaging with God's Word 30, 60, or 100 fold? What does higher engagement actually look like practically? So in yesterday's teaching, I spoke about the parable of the seed being sown on the ground. And of course, the last or the best or the good category is the category of people where the word is sown and they bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. And then it says some 30, some 60, some 100. And my proposition, what I was teaching in a way yesterday, is it's good to bring forth fruit. It's good to bring forth 30-fold fruit, but we can determine to what degree or not God's Word produces in our life. And I quoted a verse from the classic Amplified version of Mark 4, around about verse 20 or 21. It says, the measure of thought and study, we give to the truth we hear, will determine the measure of power and virtue that flows out of our lives. So here's practically what that would look like. Imagine somebody who, let's talk about our finances. Imagine somebody who occasionally gets around the promises of God. Yeah, I'm a tither and I give and I believe God. And they've got a sort of general, they're around God's word to some measure. Well, it's going to work in their life to some measure. Now, if you got that person and they said, I need breakthrough in this part of my life, and they spent hours every day surrounding themselves by good teaching, that word is going to produce more in their life than in the person who hears it occasionally. Anybody who comes to my church, probably for any time I take an offering here in my church, probably spend at least 5 or 10 minutes before that just teaching into that. Setting a cultural norm, raising the bar of faith. But that's a different thing than the people who actually go, I'm going to immerse myself in this truth and get to the place where it explodes in my life. I did that years ago, not out of, a place where I was so spiritually developed. Rather, I was a basket case financially. I really needed breakthrough. So I went through a season where for probably several months, I just surrounded myself with the Word of God about that teaching, and I began to see results. So the measure of thought, study, meditation you give to the truth you hear will determine its measure of effectiveness in your life. Boom. Question number three says, you said to grow faith during peace, not crisis, but I've been in crisis mode for years now. Does that mean I can't grow my faith until things calm down? I like this question. It's a really good question, actually. Let me tackle it in two ways. Firstly, there are external battles and there are internal battles. And Satan can't really get a foothold in your life or circumstances till you give him a foothold. Look again in Mark chapter 4, same passage I was just referring to. At the end of that passage, Jesus is in a storm, and yet Jesus is at peace. Jesus is in a storm, and yet the storm is not in Jesus. The disciples are in a storm, but the storm is in the disciples. So you can't always immediately affect the course of the circumstances of your life. And yet I would actually suggest, like Jesus, if you dwell in inner peace, you can begin to release inner peace around you. So I think there's a place where we can come to in our faith where we're not reacting and responding to the external circumstances around us. Rather, we're reacting and responding to the Word of God that is dwelling on the inside of us. I believe there's a place where we can come into perfect peace that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Isaiah 26 verse 3. There's a place we can come to, like Paul and Silas, where we're circumstantially oppressed. We're in prison, we're being flogged, we're being threatened. There's all of this externals. And yet the internal place of our peace should be greater than the external things that come against us. When the internal place of your peace is greater than the external pressure coming against you, then the internal place of your peace will affect and transform all the externals around you. Boom. So question number four, Again, it refers to a teaching I did yesterday. They said the operating system metaphor really makes sense to me, but how do I actually update my mental operating system? What are the practical steps? Let me give you two or three of those. I think firstly, seeing and being aware of your current operating system. I spoke about your lens, the way you are seeing the world. So often we tend to think that what we see is normal. I like to say you don't see things as they are. You see things as you are. We project upon the externals actually what's really going on the tablet of our heart. For instance, somebody who's been through just tons of rejection and, you know, been rejected by people will project that upon others when it's not even there. The Bible says the wicked flees when no man pursues. So somebody who's feeling guilty and shame, everybody's after me, will flee when there's nobody even pursuing them. So I would say firstly, understanding your current operating system. Now, I think, how do we do that? We can look at our reactions. We can look at our understanding level. I think the best way is to ask Holy Spirit to show us and say, Lord, are there upgrades? Are there things, are there ways in which I'm relating to your promises, the world around me, the enemy, the kingdom, things like that, which relate to where I was and not where I am called to be? Are there ways in which I'm looking at the world, understanding, processing life, which don't relate to the person you've called me to be? It relates to the person I was. So asking the Lord to show you that thing is probably the main thing about it. Secondly, again, I spoke about this in a previous video, that I don't look at renewing our mind as this patchwork thing that we work on and slowly over time we renew our mind. I think it's literally exchange. The word renew, biblically, is actually the word exchange. It says in, I think it's in Isaiah, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll rise up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now, the actual implication in the word in the Hebrew isn't they will renew their strength, like, oh, give me a shot in the arm kind of thing. It's actually they'll exchange their strength. We exchange our strength with His strength. He gets my weakness on the cross. I receive His strength. And when we renew our mind, it doesn't mean that we're like renovating it like some old cottage that we're working on over time. It actually means we give up that old carnal way of thinking and we displace the old with the new. We step into the mind of Christ. We believe that we receive that mind of Christ and we practice it. I would say this last thing. How do we practically step into that? I would practice. If you know in a way you're caught in this old mindset, the old operating system, I would practice looking at something like, yeah, we'll never get here. We don't do it. And then practice responding in the new way. You know, I used to get a bill. Every time a bill came through my door, my heart would sink. How on earth are we going to pay this one? What are we going to do? Here we go again, whatever. And then I would practice. Like, okay, what would a new mindset look like? And now her bill comes in, I hold it up and go, thank you, Lord. What an opportunity to prove your provision. What a testimony I will have. You've never failed me before. You won't fail me this time. I'm practicing that. I'm not just trying to mentally do something. I'm turning it into praise and action. Boom. Last question here today. If I'm already a new creation in the past tense, why doesn't it feel like it? How long does it take for newness to become my experienced reality? Again, really great question. I like that. I think the problem for my friend writing the question there is, if I'm a new creation, but I don't feel like it. The danger here is believing in what we feel rather than believing the word of God. Do you remember when Jacob comes before his father Isaac and he's trying to steal the blessing, and Isaac's eyes are dim and he reaches out and he feels Jacob's arms, and of course Jacob has tied fur to his arms, and he thinks it's Esau, because he feels it. He believes what he feels. And in his own spirit, he's like, are you really sure you're Esau? He's like doubting. But he believes what he feels more than what he believes. Now, The problem is this: if we go to our feelings to determine whether we're a new creation, most of the time we're not going to believe we're a new creation. I do feel I'm a new creation at least 10% of the time. You know, I feel it when I'm in church, I feel it when I'm in worship, I actually feel it after doing the right things. So the key, in a way, is the feelings are not wrong, and they're not illegitimate, and I don't think it's actually wrong or childish or misplaced to want those feelings. What I think is wrong, childish, and misplaced is when we start with the feelings rather than end with the feelings. So I would suggest this to you, my friend. Imagine every day you get up, you completely ignore your feelings. You don't deny your feelings, you just ignore them. And you do the word, you do certain things. If you were to walk the floor with your hands raised saying, "Lord, I thank you, I am a new creation. I am in Christ Jesus. I've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. I'm a new creation. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. I've escaped the corruption through evil desire, and I have the nature of God." If you would daily say those things, and again, I don't simply mean say them like me, just speaking the word, but I mean engage your heart with them. Bring them into your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then thank the Lord that this is now true. You are now a new creation. And I would literally say, "Lord, I don't feel I'm a new creation, but your word declares I'm a new creation, and my mouth also declares, and I thank you, I am a new creation." Here's my point. If you keep doing that from your heart and your mouth, engage your mouth, engage your heart, you will quickly, usually within 2 or 3 minutes, end up feeling like a new creation. But the feeling is the fruit and not the root. So the danger here is going to the feelings to determine. The Bible isn't true because you feel it's true. The Bible is true. And when I engage my heart in the truth of the Bible, I will begin to feel its truth, veracity, and power in my life. And the truth I know will set me free. Boom. Thanks for watching, guys. I'll be back next week with more teaching, one more week on the promise. And again, if you'd like a copy of this, you can get one on Amazon or sign up for our email newsletter. We'll send you a free copy as a PDF download. Please do consider signing up as a partner to our ministry. We'd love to have you on that team of Holy Ghost warriors, and bless you wherever you are at in the world today. Thanks so much.